you also can speak to yourself, your flesh. Your flesh can speak to you. Yeah. So in the place of meditation, you will develop an ability to be able to differentiate between voice from God and voices that are not from God. Yeah, you'll be able to do that. And I will show you another place in the Bible that confirms what I'm saying. Yeah. In Romans chapter 12. In Romans. It's a common verse. And I'm sure many of you know this verse I want to read. Yeah. In Romans chapter 12, I'll read from verse 1. I'm reading from New Living Translation. Say, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I'm going to focus on that verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. King James Version says that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. He said, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So that changing the way you think happens in the place of meditation. Changing the way you think, as instructed in that Bible passage, only happens in the place of meditation. It is in the place of meditation that we can begin to change the way we think. And the Bible says that as we change the way we think, there shall be transformation. Yeah. Let me read it again. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Yeah, so in the place of meditation, that is where you will practically be able to change the way you think. Because the behavior and customs of this world have malformed people, or deformed people, or damaged people. Yeah, some time ago the Lord was speaking to me. He said, look at the world. It's full of damaged people. Yeah, he said, many have been damaged, and some they have been so damaged that only special mercy from God can fix their lives. Yeah. So how were those people damaged and deformed? Is because they conformed to the behaviors and lifestyle of this world. Because they conformed to the ways of this world, the worldliness. Yeah, the worldliness that is prevailing over billions of souls at this time. So they yielded to the ways of this world, to the world system. That was how devil deformed them. Now, so let's say a lot of things have happened to you. Maybe before you come to know the Lord, before you surrendered your life to Jesus. Let's say you have been taught many lies, thinking they were true. Let's say you have lived all manner of lives in a wrong lifestyle. Yeah, let's say you have gone into darkness. Yeah, let's say you have gone deep into sin addictions. Before you begin to know God and you begin to see the light, so how will you be transformed to the person that God wants you to be? How will you be changed into another person that is not that one that wasn't, you know, that has lived wrong lives, that has lived and, you know, that have served sin for years? How will you change from someone whose lives is under addictions, captivities, oppressions, slavery? How will you change to a new person? Yeah, some people think it's just by saying the sinner's prayer, by saying, Lord Jesus, I come to you, forgive me my sins, I repent. What else is in the sinner's prayer? Send me the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's good that you say those prayers and you surrendered your life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But there is more to transformation than that. So the transformation we are talking about here does not just take place fully on the day you surrendered your life to Jesus. Yeah, which we know as born again, the day you become born again. But there is more to born again than just praying a prayer of forgiveness and telling God that you have repented and asking him to come into your life. There is more to being born again than that. It's a process. And it's all about changing. Yeah, because the Bible says that if a man is a Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, if any man is a Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So this new creature we are talking about must be birthed by God. This new creature we're talking about is not the one that your mom and dad gave birth to. This new creature we're talking about is somebody that is new entirely. Is a new you that you don't fully know. Even now that I'm talking to you. The new creature that we become in Christ, we don't fully know that man. That's another you. We don't fully know him. He's a spirit man. He's a spirit. Because in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. He said, except you are born again, you will not seeing the kingdom of God. And the man was confused. He said, as old as I am, are you telling me to go back into my mother's womb? Yeah, and I'm sure Nicodemus' mother is dead. It's not even alive. That's at that time. Yeah. So, but Jesus was telling him that he's not that kind of birth. This one is a spiritual birth. It's a divine birth. And Jesus told him, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. He said, if human beings are going to give birth, they give birth to somebody like them. If a lion is going to give birth, a lion gives birth to a lion. A tiger gives birth to tiger. A sheep gives birth to a sheep. But he says that, but Jesus told him, he said, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He said, God is Spirit. So God is going to give birth to a spirit. Yeah. So when we become, maybe I should say, when we met Jesus and we surrender our lives to him, that is meant to lead or to produce what I call a new birth. Yeah, God is now going to give birth to you. God is now going to give birth to a new you. Or God now gives birth to a new you. Maybe I should put it that way. The day you met Jesus and you believed and you repented, and then you surrendered your life to him. That day, God, in the realm of the spirit or in heaven, God gives birth to a new you that you don't yet know about. And this new you is completely different from the you that you have known since you were born. Yeah, I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Yeah, though the teaching, I'm not supposed to talk about this in the teaching, but I want to show you practically how meditation leads to transformation. Yeah, which is this new creature that is born, or that came into existence the day you became a Christian. Yeah, so a new creature emerges from that day. Yeah, but we have some work to do to begin to live or to begin to manifest that new identity that we receive on the day we met Jesus. You have a lot of work to do to walk in that identity, to live as that person that is born, that God gives birth to, not the one that your parents give birth to, the new you. You have a lot of work to do to change into that one. Yeah, so there must be a changing. That is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is all about transformation, changing. Yeah, changing from who you were before you met Christ to another man that you don't know, that nobody knows. Even your parents don't know. Even you don't know that person you are changing into. Yeah, but you must let God change you while you do your own part. So there is something you have to do. And that is the part that many ministries and churches are not talking about. Yeah, many churches are not talking about that part. that we must do to experience this transformation I'm talking about. And until we are transformed, we cannot see the kingdom of God. I tell you the truth. Until you change to that new creature, you can't enter into heaven. Yeah, you can bear a Christian name. You can do all manner of things in a local church. You can be among the choir. You can even be a preacher. You can be a generous giver to the things of God. You can be many things here on earth. But if this change doesn't happen to you, you cannot make heaven. Yeah, I'm not speaking negativity. I'm not speaking what is negative. I'm speaking the Bible. You can read John chapter 3. Just read through everything. Except this change happen in your life. A change from old man to a new man. You cannot make heaven. So Christianity is all about this change. Transformation. That is all Christianity is all about. And there is what you have to do. So one of those things you have to do is this meditation I'm talking about, which I said in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, it says that don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. So, be not conformed to this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, this means that one of the ways by... okay, let me put it this way. This means that where you conform to the ways of this world is firstly in your mind. Yeah, in your mind, in your mentality. That is the first place you conform to the world system. Yeah, because the Bible says that all that is in the world is number one, the lust of the eyes. Then number two, the lust of the flesh. And then number three, the pride of life. That is all that is in the world. Yeah, I believe you have read that place in your Bible. Yeah, the Bible summarizes everything. That is 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. It says, for all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now look at these three things. Where do they first start from? The lust of the flesh, which is the desires of your body, the cravings of your body, or the cravings of your soul. Yeah, what you want, the emotions, the feelings, your desires. I don't know what else to call it. Everything you crave for. Everything you want to enjoy. Yeah, those are the lust of the flesh. Yeah. Those are the lust of the flesh. And then the lust of the eyes. What your eyes see that you desire, or what your eyes always desire to see. Those are the lust of the eyes. Is number one, whatever your eyes sees and then you desire it because you saw it or what you always want to see around you or in your life. Yeah, those are the lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. Now, all these three things, there's a place where they first start from. And there's a way where you can control them, where you can kill them. And that is in your mind. In your mind. So if the systems of this world, if the first arises from your mind, yeah, or maybe I should say, if the temptation to copy or to yield to the systems of this world will first start from your mind, then that also means that where you will block that system is not on the outside, it's still on the inside, it's still in your mind. Yeah, I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If conformity to the ways of this world, if it starts from the mind, then it means that how you will disconnect yourself from the ways of this world, the lust in this world, the pride in this world. It means it is also in your mind you will disconnect from those things. So, and that cannot be attained without meditations. Yeah, so I still come back to meditation, which I said is one of the ways to rest in the Lord, by quietly meditating on God's power. So in the place of meditation, you experience this transformation into a new person that you don't yet fully know, as I have said earlier. And how you experience this transformation is because during the course of your meditation, you begin to bring up your life before God. Maybe I should just practically show you how I do meditations. When I was growing up spiritually, or when I began to grow up to know God very closely, I did a lot of meditations, and up to now, it has become part of me. Yeah, so I could be in the room for many hours. I could be alone in the room with God from morning till evening. You know, that is really many hours. And all I'm doing is meditation. Meditation. Yeah, so what was the details of my meditation? Many of them has to do with bringing up my life to stand side by side with the life that is in God. It's just like checking, like measuring my life together with the life of Christ. Yeah. So it's just like I bring up an issue in my life. All these are going on in my mind. Yeah, it's just like bringing up an issue in my life and trying to see how my life lines up with the life of Christ. Yeah, or trying to see how will Christ
how will Christ react to this issue if it were Christ in this situation? How will he react? What will Jesus do in this issue, in that? So I begin to list out all manner of cases in my life, all manner of issues in my life, and I begin to check them side by side with the life of Christ. So how do I go to know about the life of Christ? I saw in the scriptures, everything the scriptures teaches is about the life of Christ, which is the life that is in the kingdom of God. Everything that the scripture taught against, everything the scripture instructed, all of them, they had a life of Christ, including what Jesus himself taught in the Bible. So I begin to put my life beside the life of Christ. I begin to see where we agree and where we do not agree. So as I'm doing this, God will begin to show me all sort of rubbish in my life. A lot of things I have embraced that is wrong. A lot of things I have believed that is wrong. So in the course of the meditation, I began to know how wicked I am, how unrighteous I am, how ungodly I am, how unfaithful I am, how, you know, carnal I have been. So, and as God begins to expose these things, I begin to get rid of them. All of these things still going on inside my mind. Yeah. So I'll be there meditating. So, and practically, I will see God changing me to another man. Yeah, because I've surrendered to him. So I let him. That is why that portion of the Bible says, it said, let God transform you. And how will you let God transform you? By rejecting worldliness, by cutting off things that God doesn't want in your life, by denying yourself, your flesh, by cutting off the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, by cutting off these things, that is how God changes. So, yeah. So that is your whole part. The changing is God's part. Yeah. The transformation is God that does that. But the cutting off, it is you that will do that. And that is why I said many churches are not talking about this cutting off. What we must cut off. Yeah. And they are preaching about transformation. They are preaching about revival. They are preaching about walking in glory. They are preaching about walking in mighty miracles. They are preaching about mighty move of God is coming. And the dead will rise. The sick will be healed. And, you know, all those beautiful messages or sermons. But they are not talking about what people must cut off so that God can change their lives. And of course, when God begins to change our life, that is when we start talking about revival. We start talking about, you know, mighty miracles, healings, deliverances. Yeah, we start talking about all of that when God is now changing our lives into that person he has gave birth to, which is the new you. So in the process of that transformation goes along with a lot, including healings, deliverances, empowerment from heaven, divine encounters, divine revelations, divine visitations. Yeah, the transformation process includes many things. Many things. And this transformation continues till you are caught up with God on rapture. Yeah. The transformation, rapture is the end of that transformation. This transformation that the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It is a rapture that is the terminal point of it, or the end point of it. So it is at rapture that we are now fully transformed. But before rapture, the transformation must continue. So we must keep changing into that new man that is created in Christ Jesus. We must continue to change. And how will you change? First, you must cut off things that is your responsibility to cut off from your life. And I said, where you can practically do this, or where you can practically begin to do this, is in your mind, which is through meditation. Yeah. So when you read the Bible, how do you read the Bible? How do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible because it's a routine? You told yourself, I have to read 2 chapters a day. Yeah, so I can tell God that God, I've read the Bible today, like as though God is marking the register. So do you just read the Bible to mark a register? Like to show God that today I have read Bible? Or do you read the Bible so that it can change you? Or do you read the Bible because you're a preacher, so you have to preach? So you read so that you can have something to preach about. Is that why you read the Bible? Or you read so that you can do what the Bible teaches. People are not doing what the Bible teaches, and they want their lives to change. How will that happen? How? It will not, there will not be transformation until we begin to do what the Word of God teaches. That is when we will be transformed practically. Yeah. So there are many that have scriptures on their heads. They have memorized many passages of the Bible, but they are not obeying the Bible. Yeah. So in meditation, you are practically showing heaven that I believe what the Word of God says, and I repent where I've gone wrong, and I'm cutting off from my life everything that the Word of God does not agree, and now I surrender to Jesus, to His leading. Yeah. So in meditation, you do all of that. And because God sees your heart, immediately He sees that you are fully determined to do His will. Instantly, transformation takes place. Yeah, that is how God changed my life. Because He knew that sincerely I love Him. And He knew that sincerely I have made up my mind to please Him. Then He began to help me to do that. But many of us, God does not yet know you. Yeah. God does not yet know you because you are neither hot nor cold. So God doesn't know where do you stand. And that is why God could not change our lives. Yeah, because God doesn't know if you are standing in the light or you are standing in the darkness. Because today you have faith, tomorrow you don't have faith. Today you are strong. Tomorrow you are not strong anymore. Today you do what is right. Tomorrow you are not doing it again. So because God doesn't know who you really are. So you're like on and off. Yeah. Just like you are horn today, tomorrow you are horn. And you are horn on, you are horn and horn. Because you have not made up your mind. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Yeah. So you are not strong spiritually because you have not made up your mind to be strong. And I'm going to explain that. Now, if you have not yet permanently, not temporarily, permanently gotten rid of these things that are not of God's kingdom, that does not line up with the scriptures, you cannot be strong. If you are strong today, you will still be weak tomorrow. Or maybe after some few days, you'll be weak again. If you rise today, you will still fall. The reason is because you have not cut off what is the problem. What is the disease? You have not cut it off. The darkness, you have not cut it off. Yeah. If there is fear in your life and you have not cut off that fear, you will not, the transformation will not take place. Yeah. God will not be able to transform you. So that is why as you read the Bible, you get to know what is left in you that needs to die. And as you determine that this must die, then God shows up and helps you. And then you are transformed. And then you change. Yeah, you become better than you were before. Now, as I am right now, there are things that cannot defeat me anymore. There are things that cannot bring me down anymore. And even Satan knows about it. The reason is because I have been transformed beyond that realm. I have grown beyond that realm. Yeah, so devil cannot even use those things to tempt me anymore because he knows I will not fall because I have grown. Yeah, so that is how you grow, by getting rid of those things that will draw you back or bring you down. Yeah, and by trusting in God who is able to help you. So that is how the transformation takes place. And immediately the transformation takes place, your life gets better. Yeah. So my prayer for you is that as you begin to meditate on the Word of God and on His truth, and as you begin to get rid of those things in your life that does not agree with the scriptures, with the life of Christ, may the Lord change your life into the person that He wants you to be, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, or maybe I should put it this way. The moment you are transformed, there's a high level of assurance that you will not fail, that you will not be deceived, that you will not be captured by the enemy, Yeah. So transformation is how we grow in Christ, is by changing. That is how we grow. Yeah, and that is how we become mighty vessels in the hand of God. Yeah, some people want to raise the dead. He said, God, why are you not using me to raise the dead? God, why are you not using me to heal the sick? The question is, have you changed to the person that can do that? Have you been transformed to the person that can heal the sick? Or the person God can use to heal the sick? Have you been transformed to the person God can use to raise the dead? So walking in power, in glory, in anointing, in spiritual gifts, they all have to do with transformation. Your level of transformation that will determine how mightily you'll be used by God. That's the truth. Yeah, you can write it down. Your level of transformation will determine how mightily you'll be used by God. There are some people that God cannot use them for some assignments because they can't do it. They are not at the level of transformation that can do that assignment. Yeah. So there's an assignment God gives me now that He can't give some other people. Yeah, because they won't be able to handle it. Yeah, there's some difficult situations. God's one thing I've noticed about my ministry is that God look for some people who God looks for people who have difficult problems. I mean, very difficult problems, and then He sent them to me. He said, this is the person you have to mentor, this person, and you have to help this person. You have to minister to this person so that this person, you have to teach this person. And I believe many people in our platforms, God brought them to our ministry because He knows that He has prepared me to help them. So, whereas if they have gone to another ministry, they wouldn't have gotten that help. Yeah, not that other ministries are wrong, but God knows those that can do certain assignments. Yeah, so that is why He will select problems and send it to those that can solve it, those He has trained to solve them. So the more training you have gotten, which also means the more transformation you have gotten, then the more you'll be able to solve difficult problems in people's lives. Yeah. All right. Let's move to another point. Yeah, let me move to another point. We are talking about meditating on God's power as one of the ways to rest in the Lord. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 37, Job 37, verse 14, it says, "Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Yeah. We have to meditate on God's power to know that power. Yeah, you have to think upon powerful things. The Bible said, the Bible has told us about God, wondrous things he has done. Yeah, you have to think upon those things to connect with the power of God. Many times when I'm reading through the biblical account of how Jesus worked miracles, how the apostles in the Bible, how they also worked miracles, or how they saw miracles. Yeah, many times when I consider these things, I can literally feel the same power. Yeah, I can literally feel the same power that is in that Bible, or that they felt during the time those events took place in the Bible. So I could literally feel the same power. Yeah, that tells you that what you magnify, you attract. What you magnify, you attract. And you do, your meditation does a lot of that. In the midst of your meditation, you should do a lot of magnifying the power of God by thinking on wonderful things he has done, both things he has done for you, things he has done in you, things he has done through you, and things he has done in the Bible, things he has done through and in the lives of all others. So you start thinking upon these things and start magnifying God. So you connect with God's power when you meditate on powerful things he has done. Yeah, you connect with his power. Yeah, not that you are thinking about how worse your situation is. You're thinking about how hopeless your situation is. You're thinking about how difficult the situation is. Yeah, that will not connect you with God's power. But when you begin to magnify God's power with your mind, because you believe in him, you believe that if he has done it in those days, he can do it even now. That is when you begin to, it's like you are summoning that power, or you are invoking that power. You know, in the kingdom of darkness, there's a way they invoke spirits. Yeah. Sometimes they say all manner of incantations, read all manner of spells, and then they come, and then they shout the spirit to come out. Yeah. Similarly, if you want the power of God to manifest, begin to think upon the great things he has done. even mighty things he has done before you were born, and even the ones you have witnessed, even the ones you read in the scriptures, begin to think about them and begin to magnify, how will I put it now? As you are thinking about those wonderful ones, then begin to magnify his power above whatever you're passing through. Before you know it, you see the same power appear in your life. Before you know it, you get your miracle. Yeah. That is it. That is it exactly. Yeah. Magnify God through meditation. Magnify him through meditation. Yeah. A preacher said sometimes, he said, if I'm going to pray with someone with to pray for someone with cancer, he said, I have to face that cancer with the greatness of God. So meaning that in his mind, he magnified God above that cancer. So he already see the cancer destroyed in his mind even before he prayed for the person. You already see the cancer, the problem disappeared. He already sees it in his mind. And because it has already happened in his mind, then the anointing flows out to make what he has seen in his heart appear physically. And then it happens like that. Yeah. So that is how it works. Yeah. That is how it works. So now, let me take another scripture. In Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Yeah. So when you are still, is that moment you are quietly meditating on God's power. That is the moment you are still. And then as you continue to meditate on his power and to strengthen your faith, then you begin to know that he is God. Yeah, because eventually you will know that he is God. Not that you don't know that he's God, but I'm talking about practical knowing. Yeah, God told the Israelites, he said, he told them to hold their peace. Yeah, he said they should hold their peace, that he will fight for them. And he did fight for them. Yeah, I'm praying for you that may the Lord help you to learn to be still. Yeah, to learn to quietly meditate on his power. May the Lord help you to learn to do these things, to learn to wait for his intervention and not rush into what you should not do, thinking that solutions come by human effort. And then you start looking for how to solve problems. Yeah, because you can't be still. Because you just want to see the results quickly. Yeah, but God doesn't work that way. So may the Lord help you to be still while you wait for God. God's intervention and while you meditate on his power in Jesus' name. Now, another scripture I'm going to read before we round off the session is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11, which says, study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. Yeah, I want to. Yeah, I want to read the full verse. It says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Yeah, so it's something that you have to learn, something you have to grow into, that you study to be quiet or learn to be quiet, because in the midst of your quietness that is where you get direction from God. Now when I say quiet, doesn't mean you are not talking. Or maybe I should say, the quietness here is not just not talking. It's also quietness in your mind, stillness in your mind. Yeah. So because while you are quiet, then God can minister to you. While you put aside the cares of this world, you put aside fears, anxieties, worries, and then you begin to meditate on God's goodness, on God's promises, God's love, God's faithfulness, God's power, God's mercy. Yeah. Then God begins to lead and direct you. Yeah, begin to he will begin to teach you many things. Yeah, so there are people that are not quiet in their mind, though they are quiet physically, but their minds are not quiet. Their minds is like sea. Yeah, the spiritual state of some people's mind is like sea. It's unstable. They are confused. They don't know what to do. They don't know the right from the left. And they are not willing to know. They are perplexed. They are thinking so many things. They are fearful. Yeah. So that kind of a mind cannot receive from God, cannot even hear the voice of God. But when there is stillness, like a river, yeah, then it will be easy for God to come in and lead you and speak to you and guide you. Yeah. And how do you maintain this stillness? Is by focusing on God, setting your mind on God, setting your mind on things above, not on things in this world, setting your mind on faith, on obedience, on righteousness, on purity. Yeah, set your mind on what is good. Then you begin to enjoy this stillness. And then you receive divine direction and guidance and revelations. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Then next Tuesday we'll continue from here. Yeah, if you have questions, you can actually ask on the group, or you can ask me personally. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are a great God. Thank you for helping us to look at your word today. Thank you for letting us know the power of meditation coupled with obedience. Thank you for showing us how we can experience transformation. Thank you for showing us how we can begin to live the new life that you have already given us. Thank you, Father. Lord, I am asking that this truth you have revealed during this class, let it be received in the hearts of everyone that have heard this teaching. Let the truth gain roots in their heart and let them yield to this truth and obey. And as they obey, Lord, let your power change their lives and let them have testimonies of transformation. Thank you, Father, because I know you shall do greater than I have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, the Lord bless you. Amen.
Goodbye.